Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Now we are at that part of the service we call the show and tell. I would invite any young folks who'd like to come forward for the show and tell and to be right up front for the scripture reading. You are very welcome to come forward. Have a seat right up there. Perfect. I have awesomeness for you this morning. You have probably seen these if you are super duper attentive in the fellowship hall. Have you seen these guys? These, I think, are all guys as they are portrayed here. Can you recognize who these guys might be if you have not seen them before? Who are they? They are the three wise men. You are correct. And these three wise men are part of the beautiful nativity scene that we have on display in the fellowship hall until shortly after worship today, y'all. Those of you who are not at the shepherd's meeting are going to be helping take down Christmas decorations in the sanctuary and the fellowship hall. Okay, back to this. Tomorrow, so we're celebrating it today a little bit. Tomorrow is a special church holiday that we call Epiphany. And on Epiphany, we remember the story that Matthew's gospel tells us about these three guys. We don't know how many they were, and we don't know whether or not they were guys. But we have traditionally read Matthew's story to say there were three wise men, and the wise men were people who studied the stars. And they probably traveled from what is now the country of Iran toward Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, and they wanted to go and worship the new king because their studies of the stars told them that there was a new king coming. And they came and they brought special gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus. We'll talk about those gifts some other time. And they came to celebrate that a new king had been born. And one of the things that we celebrate on Epiphany is not just that Jesus was a new king for one set of people, but that Jesus is actually king of the entire world. And that's part of what we celebrate on Epiphany. We celebrate that the good news that we celebrate in Jesus is good news for everybody. Now, Paul is going to read us a story that is going to help us think a little bit about what it means to be king for everybody. And it's not going to be super obvious what the connection is, but I'm going to set this thing here, this Epiphany thing, that Jesus is king for everybody, and then I'm going to invite you to listen to this story from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry as he was an adult. So stick around and we will listen together. I'll be right back.
Well, this morning's scripture reading is from the New Testament, Mark 1, 12 through 31. It's on page 43 in your Pew Bible in the New Testament. And please follow along as I read. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you done? What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them.
The people were all amazed, and they said to each other, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." Only, Paul didn't tell us what that teaching was. You would think if it's so important and authoritative that it can drive out evil spirits, that surely it's worth writing down. It's not, apparently. It would be a lot easier, I think, if Jesus would just give us the magic words that would usher in the kingdom of God, right? It'd be easier if Jesus would just tell us some clearly reproducible thing that would bring in all of what God has intended for the world all the way from the beginning, wouldn't it? I think that misses what we mean when we talk about authority. Often, as sort of modern people, when we talk about the word authority, we imagine something that is universally verifiably true. Something that you could take this word or this set of words, this teaching, and pick it up and apply it absolutely anywhere at any time, and it would work and it would fit. Only that's not what the word authority means. The word authority means that something comes from the source. Jesus' teaching comes from the source. The source and goal of all that is, Jesus' teaching comes from God. Jesus is authoritative not because he is saying the things that are true, although he is that too. Jesus is authoritative because, as the unclean spirit said, Jesus is the Holy One of God. Jesus doesn't come and assert his authority by force. He comes and lives under God's authority in the world as it is, and that transforms and upsets and disrupts and changes the world as he finds it. This scripture reading about authority was already there before I started thinking about these questions of authority that are with us and around us in the world today, including this weekend as we wrestle with the authority to use force to take life and jeopardize the lives of others as we listen to and watch and read the news of the world around us today. Authority is not primarily about the use of force to take life and jeopardize the lives of others. I'm primarily thinking about the ways that authority is used. I'm thinking about the ways that authority maintains itself and what authority does in the world. I want to try to stay in this setting with Jesus because I don't want to stand here and pretend to be some kind of expert in geopolitics. I'm only a preacher. I'm only a preacher who loves reconciliation and who trembles for the lives of thousands of military personnel and millions of civilians. I can only pray for those who are caught between powerful men challenging each other's authorities. I can only pray to God and to those humans who have power to act and influence that situation. So Jesus teaches with authority, and without even telling us the content of that teaching, Mark, the gospel writer, tells us that the people are wowed by Jesus' authority. Everyone who hears Jesus is wowed by his authority in teaching. When Jesus teaches with the authority of God, he is specifically rejecting some other specific other authorities in the world. You may remember if you were here last week, extra credit, by the way, to those of you who were here last week. You may remember from last week that Mark's gospel is all about how Caesar, the emperor of the Roman Empire, how Caesar is not ultimately the Lord. Caesar is not ultimately the sovereign one on whom all else in the world depends. Mark's gospel says that right from the very beginning. This unclean spirit who encounters Jesus in the synagogue, he recognizes God's authority by the way that Jesus teaches. And we can recognize that Jesus is teaching with God's authority by the way that this other power in this one individual's life, how this other power reacts to Jesus. So Jesus has already started out by rejecting the authority of Caesar. He's now rejecting the authority of this unclean spirit that reacts against everything that Jesus has to say. Jesus casts out this demon on the Sabbath, which means he's also not bound by a specific religious tradition, which incidentally is not the same thing as an unclean spirit. Jesus is not bound by the authority of this religious tradition. Now, religious traditions are good and meaningful. They are ways to structure life of people and communities in the world, but we also know, don't we, that religious traditions can become ways of preventing people from experiencing and participating in God's saving work in the world. So Jesus is already rejecting the final authority of a religious tradition and an unclean spirit and an emperor of the known world. And then the scripture lesson continues with Jesus rejecting still more authorities. So here we continue in verse 32. That evening at sunset, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. So Jesus rejects more authorities there. He rejects the authority of those demons who would call out and announce who Jesus was before Jesus was ready for that to be known, or before the people with him had fully understood what it is that those demons were going to announce. But then Jesus also rejects the authority of those very crowds that he came and spent time healing. He leaves them behind, goes off to pray, and when he finds out that they're following him, he goes on farther away from those same crowds. Jesus serves God, not only the people that he came to otherwise serve and announce the kingdom to. Jesus also rejects the authority of those taboos about disease and cleanliness and contagion. And he even calls into question the authority of the temple, that religious structure that makes it possible for people's relationship with God and with the community to be made sensible in the world in which we live. These are all structures that are not necessarily wrong. They're certainly not always wrong, but these are all authorities that finally live under God's authority. God's authority, which we know most clearly in Jesus. Now, at this point, I just have to say, I really struggle with what Jesus says about authority and how authority works. But here is Jesus teaching with authority. Here is Jesus, the one who speaks on God's behalf out of his deep connection with, identity with God. And I just have to take this on his authority, that this is how authority rightly works in the world. And so Jesus teaches this sort of thing. Jesus teaches that it is stronger to serve our neighbors freely than it is to dominate them. That service is stronger than domination. Jesus teaches that. He teaches us, he shows us that we can forgive one another and hold one another accountable at the same time. That we can forgive one another what has gone on in the past, and we can address what has gone on in the past so that it may be healed, and that those are not mutually exclusive. We can do both of those things. Jesus teaches and shows us that peace comes not from destroying our enemies, but from loving them into transformation. Jesus teaches us that transformation comes from welcome and liberation, which is what Jesus does right here in this scene as he moves through the community, healing and casting out unclean spirits and bringing people back up and restoring people to relationship with the community. Here and throughout his ministry, what Jesus is doing is freeing, reconciling, and gathering back in. And it is that work that transforms us. It is that work of difficult relationship and healing that actually transforms us and transforms the world around us. So today is just an invitation. Today is just an invitation into the work that Jesus does. An invitation to live under God's authority by maintaining our connection to God, to what really matters. It's an invitation to refuse hatred and fear by naming those before God. It is an invitation to remember who God is and to serve God alone by praying and worshiping and studying Scripture and studying the world around us through the lens of Scripture, and often most radically just allowing ourselves to rest and be silent in God's presence. We see Jesus doing that right here. And it is an invitation to pray for our neighbors and for our enemies. By identifying and responding to the deep needs of those we share this world with, whether we identify them as neighbors or enemies, when we identify and respond to those deep needs around us, we make room that we might seek God in our neighbor and in our enemy. We make room that God may actually break out into the relationships that we share with each other in this world. All I have is that invitation. And all I have it on is Jesus' own authority. Let us pray. Jesus, Holy One, you come to reconcile all things. You come to heal and cleanse by God's everlasting authority. So by your Holy Spirit, cast out the spirits of hatred and fear in us and in those who wield power on our behalf. By your Holy Spirit, cast out the spirits of hatred and fear in those who wield power against us, and cast out those spirits in us too. Give us the grace to serve our neighbors, to love our enemies, to heal your creation, as servants of your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.